You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to You Can't Outrun the Fork. I am your host, Brett Bittner. You Can't Outrun the Fork examines healthy eating habits to break you out of the standard American diet and the problems that accompany it. We offer you a perspective on what it means to eat in a healthy manner from a variety of options and how we can fix our health by thinking about food differently. While I have an affinity for the ketogenic diet because it works for me, we will be examining a lot of other healthy eating options. Please be sure to rate and review us in iTunes, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and subscribe using your favorite podcast catcher. You can always catch the latest shows at can'toutrunthefork.com. We are often taking your questions, comments, show ideas, and suggested guests via email at show@can'toutrunthefork.com. If you are new to the program, we do keep things short compared to other things on the network, usually only lasting about 45 minutes. If this particular episode isn't your cup of tea, I suggest trying some of the others in the feed. This show is for adults interested in avoiding the health issues that plague the standard American diet. However, I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on this podcast. The conversations within are not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, they are a reflection of the experience of the host and guests, unless otherwise noted. Enjoy! Welcome back to another episode of You Can't Outrun the Fork. Today I am joined by a good friend of mine whom I met when I still lived in Atlanta and got to know her and her kids, her two daughters. I actually have only met her son once, but it's my friend Rachel Cook, who we met at the Chick-fil-A in Marietta, Georgia. And at the time, she was the general manager of that Chick-fil-A, and it was my Chick-fil-A. When I was living in Marietta, it was the one that was 2 miles from my house. It was the one where I went probably 3 to 4 to 5 days a week. And so it was obvious that people were going to see me a lot. And we had an interesting dynamic in that I got to know a lot of the people there and became friends with a lot of the folks at that particular location. And Rachel is one of them, and somebody that we've kept in contact, and we've been friends even after we no longer had that as our Chick-fil-A. So I'd like to welcome Rachel to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi, Rachel. So tell what did I leave out? I mean, you know, I know how we met, and I don't know the best way to introduce it other than, you know, we used to have our Chick-fil-A.
Right. You came in and I knew you by your order more than I knew you by your name. And then one day we started chatting. I'm pretty sure it was over like a libertarian shirt that you were wearing or something.
Probably.
And so discovered that we had that in common. And yeah, then just kept talking after that. So, yeah.
Awesome.
And then I had kids, and right. I homeschool, and I stay here, and yeah,
so
that's what we do.
You're a homeschooling mom of three.
Yes.
One of them not quite ready for the homeschooling yet, but we're getting there because your girls are now 7 and 5, and your son is 1.
Yes.
Okay. So, you're obviously we... Because of the libertarian world, and this is produced on the We Are Libertarians network and released through their network. So obviously there's a libertarian kind of influence in everything on the network, and most people know that I am one. But I think that in terms of how we came to kind of have the same way of eating was probably very similar, and our keto mom is probably the same person. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
For those of you who have listened before, in episode 4, I talked with Anna Martin, who's a libertarian homeschooler on Facebook and on Instagram. And she is somebody that has been, I would call her my keto mom, and we talked about that a little bit. And when I was in New Hampshire, I think it was 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was just last week, I was talking with my friend Jessica, and we talked about how we need to come up with a keto family tree, like the people that influenced us to try, and then the people that we have influenced to try keto. And that would be something that would be really neat. So I've been kind of thinking about, oh, well, Anna is my keto mom, which would make Rachel my keto sister, because we have this.
I love that. So I love that. And the person that influenced Anna, I follow a lot and now talk with somewhat regularly. So I guess he would be the keto uncle.
Right. There you go. Well, no, he would be
no, grandfather.
Yeah, there you go.
That's funny.
So how long have you been eating keto? Because I know that you were waiting until Jude was a certain age. Jude is her son. You were waiting until he was a certain age before you jumped on full bore, right?
Well, yes, because Jude just turned a year a few weeks ago. And so I was trying to figure out keto as a nursing breastfeeding mom. And also we had moved and I didn't have, we moved into a fixer-upper. We were remodeling and I didn't have a kitchen. So there was a lot of outside factors to when I could start. But I've been eating a ketogenic diet since mid-July of 2017.
Okay.
And Jude was right about 6 months old at that time.
So what was it that brought you to decide that this is the way that you're going to eat going forward?
I had been seeing your story and Anna's story and several others online and been thinking about it since before I had Jude, actually. I knew I needed to make a change just to be healthy. I knew I had some weight to lose. I didn't realize how much weight I had to lose until I actually lost it. But really, the weight was not the most important thing. I just wanted to be overall healthy. So
what does that mean for you? What was it that you were trying to address or correct? It wasn't necessary. You said it wasn't weight. Like for me, was probably a side effect, a welcome side effect, but a side effect of what you were doing?
Yes, yes.
So what were you trying to address?
I had blood sugar issues when I was pregnant with Jude. Really, I had them with all three of my pregnancies, but it was more pronounced with Jude. And then I had elevated liver enzymes and things while I was pregnant with him. And I don't want those things to be a factor in any future pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of hormonal shifts and swings. And it was just, my body wasn't running how it should. I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't eating well. And all of that is affecting how good of a parent I was.
Okay.
Really, my breaking point was as I'm losing my mind on my children screaming, which that's not the kind of mother I was or want to be. I called Anna one day just crying, like, I have to do something. This is not how I want to parent. I need to be a gentle, kind, patient, self-controlled parent for my children, and my body's making it really difficult to do that.
So you're somebody that subscribes to the idea of peaceful parenting, right?
Yes.
Kind of the idea. Okay.
Yes.
So I think people would be very familiar with that term. If they aren't, then, you know, it's something I'm sure that they can look up. So you had all of these things that were mostly driven by the way that you felt in parenting your two daughters and your son who had just been born. What have you seen when you change the way that you eat that was like, okay, this is definitely what's going to work for me because I'm seeing X, Y, and Z happen with me and in my interaction with my children?
I mean, within the first couple of weeks, sleep was a lot better. And even if Jude was waking up, you know, every 2 or 3 hours, my children don't ever sleep. So yes, my 6-month-old still woke up every 3 hours. I could take care of him and then immediately fall back asleep. Whereas before, I could be up until the next time he woke up, just not able to sleep. And so I was running on empty. So getting solid sleep cycles was really beneficial.
Sure.
And then just not having to rely on caffeine and sugar to have energy throughout the day. And that just stabilizes your moods a ton when you're not swinging from one sugar and carb fix to the next.
Okay.
So it makes it much easier to have self-control and sure. to just be patient.
Well, you're not seeing the mood swings and the dips. And
yes.
It's actually something that I experienced as well when things changed for me, when I changed the way that I was eating, was that I saw, and I've talked about the mental and emotional clarity that came with it, but also it's a steadiness when it comes to mood.
Yes.
You don't see huge swings. You're very stable in the way that you are looking at things and the way that you're reacting to things and the way that you're proactively working to make sure that the things that might set you off aren't going to. Those were all the things that I saw. Is that something that you did as well? And of course, you've got a whole lot more. I mean, my 3 kids all have 4 legs. And, you know, I can just leave them at home and go do other things. That's not something that you
yes.
necessarily do.
Correct. Also, the lifting of brain fog was really great, too, just for interacting. I mean, my kids know that I was forgetting stuff all the time. My oldest, Ellie, is very keen to tell me that I have forgotten something, or, Mom, you said we were going to do this and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having clarity of mind to remember what I told them we would do and have the energy to do it.
Okay.
It's really been, it's been transformative in that area.
So those are some of the benefits. Or is there anything else that you're like, yes, this is something that I wish everybody knew about what it was like for me when I switched the way that I eat keto, and this is what I wish, you know, I had known beforehand because I would have done it so much earlier.
Oh, man. I wish I would have known that it's a lot easier than people think it is.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah.
I think everybody tries to complicate it, and it's really pretty simple. I mean, it's as complicated as you want to make it, but you can keep it simple and gain great benefits from it. What else? Energy, brain fog. No, it's just been really, it's been really good for our whole family. I mean, my husband notices that I'm more energetic and I'm more patient. I don't have headaches. I don't have muscle pain, joint pain anymore. Like, I mean, all the other benefits that you hear from keto, all of that stuff disappeared too, but it definitely has transformed me as a mom in a time that was extremely stressful for me. It helped decrease my stress and helped me not be as triggered by things that in prior times, you know, would have sent me just in bad places. So, you know.
So now you're doing something that I don't have any experience with, because for me, you know, other than the occasional meal that I will cook for Morgan and myself, I'm not necessarily eating keto around other people, and I'm not necessarily responsible for or contributing to the meals that they consume. So as a mom who has kids and a husband, what was it like when you first started your keto journey? Was it something that you embarked on by yourself at first and then just kind of introduced some of the things? Because that's kind of the way that it has worked for me, is that, you know, every once in a while I will make something that's keto, or Morgan will make something that's keto, and that's what we eat together. But generally when we aren't, like, we'll have fend for yourself kind of nights for dinner, or, you know, she'll have something at lunch when we're both at work that's going to be separate from me, and it isn't necessarily keto. So what is it like for you as somebody in a party of five, when you are trying to change the way that you eat?
At first I did it all on my own, especially in the period of figuring out what was working for me and trying to get, you know, my macros straight and counting or not counting or whatever. I just cooked completely separate meals.
Okay.
So for breakfast, I would make myself bacon and eggs. If that's what the girls said that they wanted to eat with me, fine. If not, they could have oatmeal or cereal or pancakes or whatever. For lunches, you know, I would do my meat and salad and then make them their sandwiches and whatever else. And dinners, I would typically do meat and a veggie, and then I would add maybe potatoes or rice or couscous or whatever for them, just to kind of bulk it up and give them some foods that they were used to. I did take out some things of my just regular cooking pretty immediately.
Okay.
I stopped buying some of the snack foods that were kind of big temptations for me that they had.
Okay.
Like fruit snacks. Anytime they would open fruit snacks, I would always take two or three. I know that's dumb because they're just little kid fruit snacks, but they are delicious.
Right.
So I stopped those. Okay. I stopped macaroni and cheese. So I did stop a few things kind of immediately for them, but for the most part, it was all separate for several months. I think I kept it that way for like 4 months.
Okay. And when you started, you mentioned macros or not macros. Did you start as somebody who was keeping very strict to like a 75 or 70, 25, 5 kind of macro breakdown of calories coming from fat, calories coming from protein, calories coming from carbs? Or did you kind of just see what worked for you and kind of went lazy keto like I did after about 3 weeks?
I went lazy keto to a certain extent. With breastfeeding, I couldn't go down to below 20 net carbs.
Okay.
And I needed a little bit of sugar. I'm talking like blueberries or strawberry sugar, not
right.
Like a cookie. But just because milk takes that away. So it took me a while to figure out how low I could take my carbs, in the beginning, how much fruit I needed to eat. The adjustment period was longer for me than I would say most others experience. And there's not a ton of information out there that I could find. So for any nursing mamas out there, my suggestion is don't worry about your calories, keep them pretty high, and keep your fat high. And I stayed around 50 net carbs for a little while, and then I started decreasing after that, and now I lazy keto, I don't know. I try to stay around 20 total carbs.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just got a scale over the weekend, and I'm going to track food for a few weeks and see where I'm at, if I really am eating what I think I'm eating at the moment. But that's just more for my own information and to start tweaking things, not necessarily. I mean, there's no physical benefit. There may be, but it's really just for my own knowledge at that point.
Okay. So you talked about how you cooked separate meals for the family and for you for about,
yes,
for about 4 months in. And then
mm-hmm.
you are doing something that started after that 4 months that I don't know many people that do, and is probably the thing that is most interesting to me about our conversation. And that's that you now included your two daughters to eat keto. And that's a pretty recent development in the last few months.
Yes. So they've been watching me eat, mm-hmm. and they've been hearing my reasons why I've chosen to eat this way. And they've seen, they've noticed that I've lost weight. I've lost a pretty significant amount of weight. And so they see that. And they listen to my podcasts and, you know, the Instagram stories I listen to and YouTube videos I watch. They're around for all of that. They may not sit down and watch it with me or anything, but they're hearing it in the background. So I sat them down before Christmas and said, I want y'all to try this, mainly because my oldest is in pain a lot.
Okay.
And people can call it growing pains, but I don't buy into growing pains. Maybe occasionally, but not to the extent that she was having them. She was waking up in the middle of the night just sobbing. It was affecting her sleep because it wasn't just one time she would wake up. You know, it was multiple times. And then just complaining throughout the day of things hurting. And I'm like, look, I really think that if you give this a fair shot, that it will be beneficial to your pain. And so she agreed, and my 5-year-old also agreed. And for the month of January, we were really strict. I made them keto treats, but they did not have any processed sugar. They didn't have bread or a pasta, anything. They ate a ketogenic diet with me for one full month.
And what was that like for you and for them?
For me, actually, I think I don't have a scale in the house, but I'm pretty sure I gained weight because I made them a bunch of keto treats that I was not making myself before.
Okay.
So calorie wise, I think I increased my calories. But for them, it was hard in the beginning, and Nina came around. She's my 5-year-old. She came around pretty quickly, and she enjoys the food. She's my one that likes eggs naturally. She was kind of bacon and sausage and eggs girl anyway.
Okay.
So that's fine for her. She'll eat meat at dinner time, no problem. My Ellie girl, she misses pancakes. She misses cereal. She misses oatmeal, just all these things. She's very more emotionally attached to food than I even realized.
Okay.
And so she's telling me that she's missing her old foods. But they both noticed really great benefits. Ellie's pain almost disappeared. She didn't have any headaches. She was sleeping better. They were going to sleep easier, both of them, even to the point they didn't fight as much. Not that they fight a ton anyway, but they were just not as snippy with each other in the afternoons. And I'm assuming that's just, you know, not having blood sugar spikes and stuff like that. So they noticed great benefits.
Okay.
After January and where we are right now, we have decided together, the three of us, that I will not be providing them with non-keto food in our home for their lunches, whatever. But that when they're out and about, they can decide what they want to eat. Because ultimately, I'm not going to be there to control, and I don't want to be their control for food.
Right.
They need to make that decision as to how food makes them feel and then make the decision if it's worth it or not for them.
Okay.
And Nina gets it. They both went out last night. They had their daddy-daughter dance for Girl Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the food there was pasta and sandwiches and cake and, you know, regular dance party food.
Right.
And they ate, and they both got stomach aches and left an hour, asked to leave an hour early because they didn't feel good. So they get it. They understand that the way they fuel their body affects the way that they feel and how long they can stay at things and if they want to play at the park and all of that. So now it's just a matter of they get to decide if it's worth it or not to them.
Okay. So,
it's not that's where we're at right now.
So it's not just you and the girls now, because you, and this is something I didn't know until we started talking before we were recording today, but you have your son is pretty much like never had sugar.
No, I haven't even given him fruit.
So tell us a little bit about what it's like now. And he's a year old. And so we're looking at like the first year, he's not had any sugar whatsoever. How does that work?
Yeah. So, you know, when you start feeding babies, typically you start with mushy foods like a banana. What is that? All sugar. Or you start with kids' oatmeal. And then you move into some vegetables, and it's typically starchy, carby vegetables that you're going to feed them, and then more fruit. And that's what we're told is healthy for them. Okay. But I did not do that at all. I started him with eggs, and there's all kinds of opinions on that because of food allergies, but he started with eggs, and then he pretty much just ate what I ate. So he eats eggs with cheese and sausage and bacon. He eats steak, chicken, pork. He does get green beans occasionally. He gets broccoli occasionally. He gets I think the sweetest thing, he eats carrots some, but that's probably the sweetest thing he gets. On his first birthday, you know, the fun thing to do is to make the smash cake for your kid and take pictures and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And my husband and I agreed, we compromised with, we would do a gluten-free cake with, cream cheese icing. So I made a keto icing. I didn't even put sweetener in it at all. It was just vanilla and cream cheese and butter and some heavy whipping cream. And then I did use a gluten-free cake mix, so that has some sugar in it. He honestly took maybe two bites of the cake. I don't even think he cared for it, and just smeared it all over his face. So there's the sugar that he's had. That is the two bites of cake. But yeah, he's my keto kid. I don't plan on giving him fruit until, I don't know when I really plan on giving him fruit. I'm going to try to make that the dessert. That's kind of my goal. And that's what it is for the girls now. They can have blueberries as a dessert in our house, or some strawberries, but that's the only fruit that I keep. So as long as he's young enough for me to have a big say-so in his food, meat and some green veggies are going to be his jam.
Okay. When you were looking at how this could benefit your daughters and your son and your family in general, what were some of the things that you were hoping to see come of that?
Yes. So the physical things are less pain, better sleep. It just improves moods overall for everybody. So those are the physical, but I really want them to have a different view of food than the view of food that I had growing up and that I have now and that I'm fighting against. I want them to see it as fuel for your body and to recognize that what you put in your body greatly affects how you how you perform during the day, be it physically or emotionally. Food is really important.
Okay.
So, yeah, but that's a hard thing to do. So that's why I've really, you know, we went really strict for a month so that they could see what it's like one way. Mm-hmm. And now they've made choices so that they can experience firsthand what carbs and sugar, how it makes your body feel.
Okay. And of those things with them, have you seen kind of what you were hoping to see? Has that come to pass for them? Are they starting to see that? You mentioned when they went to the dance last night that they, you know, they had some stuff that they hadn't had in a month or a month and a half, and they didn't feel well. But are they starting to make that association that you were hoping for, where they are seeing food as fuel? Or is that still something you're hoping for down the road, and right now you're just kind of focused on having them kind of see the benefits that you had hoped to see with them?
Nina, yes. Nina seems to choose to abstain from carbs and sugar more than Ellie.
Okay.
Nina doesn't speak about missing foods nearly as much. Ellie frequently says she misses foods. In fact, when I asked her what they wanted me to tell you, she said, "You can tell him that I do feel better when I eat keto, but that I really missed my old foods."
Okay.
And so I said, "Okay, I understand." I mean, she's just newly seven, so it's, you know.
That's
a lot. And
asking a lot of somebody who's 5 and 7 to really recognize the changes in the way that they feel, because let's face it, there are people who are 35 or 37 that aren't necessarily recognizing the way that food makes them feel.
Well, and not only recognize, so now they're recognizing the way it makes them feel, but then to make the choice to eat in a way that makes you feel good, because there are plenty of adults who know that food will make them feel bad and continue to eat it anyway. So it's so hard to make that right choice at any time, much less when you're 5 and 7.
Right.
But I want it to be their own. I don't want to lord over them with food, and I, you know, I'm trying so hard not to give them a negative connotation of food. But at the same time, I want us to enjoy mealtime together. I don't want them to come to the table and dread that I'm, you know, just giving them meat and a veggie.
Right.
So I'm trying to come up with other ways to enjoy mealtime without food being the focus of our joy.
Okay.
I've been bringing little games to the table. We ask each other, "Would you rather?" questions. We'll do our devotions at the table. We may read a story or poems. Just different things so that food isn't the focus of our joy, but being together and fellowshipping together as a family is the fun part of mealtime. So that's kind of part of my helping them have a different view of food. This is all pretty new. This is all things I'm just pondering and thinking and feeling my way out as I go, because I don't know a lot of people that are trying to totally eliminate sugar from their kids' diet. And kids who once ate a very standard American diet. I mean, the last 2 years for us, we've had a lot going on. And so prior to me starting keto, we were eating out 3 meals a day. And it wasn't like nice restaurant eating out. I'm talking McDonald's, because it was cheap, 3 meals a day. And that is not anywhere where I thought I would ever be with my children, who I started both of them out on all organic, whole foods, you know, all this stuff. And life happens and it deteriorates to McDonald's three meals a day.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah, it's a big 180 for them. Even though I ease them into it a little bit, but 4 or 5 months to a kid isn't that long. So, right.
So the last little bit that I wanted to talk about before we wrap things up, because I try to keep the episodes 45 minutes or less. You talked about the first month that the girls ate keto with you, and you talked about the treats and trying to give a sense of quote normalcy to their diet, because or not necessarily normalcy, but what they were used to. Try to give them a little bit of that, you know, the treats, or you know, the you know, remaking things in a low carb way. What were some of the things that you tried, and what were of those? What were the things that they really liked?
Well, I just confirmed what I had determined for myself, which is I don't need to recreate standard American foods and try to make them fit in a keto diet.
Okay.
I tried keto breads. I tried keto cookies. We made a pumpkin pie. We made, which actually the pumpkin pie was probably the most successful thing that we did, because it really is darn delicious. We've made a variety of fat bombs, and some of them, you know, have gone over better than others. Now we just have a peanut butter one that Nina likes. It's peanut butter and coconut oil, and then a vanilla one that Ellie likes, and it's just cream cheese, vanilla, heavy whipping cream, and some butter. And those are the ones we make as staples. But most things that I would slave over in the kitchen, oh, even keto pancakes, although Nina had them this morning, but Ellie does not like keto pancakes.
Okay.
Most things that I would slave over in the kitchen and spend like 2 hours doing, they wouldn't eat. So that's when I say my calories increased, because it's there and I don't want to waste it. So I ate it.
Okay, sure.
I ate it. But it just definitely confirms that there's no need to recreate all these foods. You just need to change. You need to change your mindset and develop your taste to something different. So keep it simple. That's what's worked for me. Eggs, meat, a few veggies, a little salad, butter, and bacon. Although that goes into meat. But I mean, keeping it simple. Yes, yes. Because also, I mean, if when I'm trying to make them treats and stuff, just the meal prep and the time in the kitchen, it's a lot. And yes, they help me and they enjoy being in the kitchen with me. But, you know, there's other stuff we want to do with our days. We don't always want to spend 4 hours making this intricate keto recipe. And, you know, they're going to eat chicken or steak or a bunless burger just as well, if not better, than, you know, some keto lasagna that took me an hour and a half.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't suggest, well, I mean, everybody's got to figure it out for themselves. But for me, keto treats don't work. For my kids, keto treats don't really work.
Okay.
Keto Connect chocolate chip cookies, they're the bomb, and I use them at our homeschool co-ops and stuff like that because they're gluten-free. So it's a good treat for our friends who are gluten-free also. So I like those. But my girls, they can kind of take it or leave it. They're not chowing down on them, you know, 10 at a time or anything. So.
Well, Rachel, I want to thank you so much for spending the time and talking with me today and sharing with the listeners for You Can't Outrun the Fork what it's like as a parent to introduce keto initially as an individual, and then, you know, I've been wondering myself, like, how this works with kids, how it would work, not just, like, as a parent, eating keto, but not necessarily having the kids and the rest of the family do it. And then when they're included, how that works, because to me, that was something that I don't think there are very many people talking about. There aren't very many people talking about their keto kids. And so I really do want to thank you for coming on and talking about that today. And if there's anything that you want to share or you want to promote or whatever it is, now's your opportunity to do it. And if nothing, then we can call it a day. And again, I really do appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for inviting me. And thank you for sharing your keto journey, because without you and without Anna, I would not be on this path. Y'all were both very encouraging and influential to me, and ultimately to my family. So I appreciate it. And I'm so happy for your personal results too. It's awesome.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank everybody who's listening. This is You Cannot Run the Fork. And if this is your first episode, please do go back in the archives and listen to one of the previous 12 or 13 episodes that we've done. And find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. And have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.